think we're twins and we're kind of inseparable and we love the same things. It was just it was a wonderful partnership. At least I'm saying that. He might change his mind.
No, no.
Oh, this would be great. Yeah, give us some dirt.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to Guides the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And we have a very special episode today. We got to talk to Paul and Ben China.
The China Brothers.
The China Brothers, who wrote and directed Night Shift, a movie that is available right now on video on demand.
Yes, you all know where you can get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go find the Night Shift. It's a spooky movie. It is, we're going to read you the synopsis here to get you all on the same page. We don't want to spoil a thing, obviously.
No, of course. Although I will tell you, it is 82 minutes long. And that's something that Will and I both love.
Endorsed.
A nice, tight movie length.
Tight movie length.
Yep.
So, while working her first night shift at a remote motel, a young woman, Gwen Taylor, played by Phoebe Tonkin, begins to suspect that she's being followed by a dangerous character from her past. As the night progresses, Gwen's isolation and safety, however, are made all the more worse when she starts to realize that the motel might also be haunted.
Mm.
The movie also features Lamorne Morris and Madison Hu. Other surprises that will, you're going to see some familiar faces, I think,
yes,
if you're a fan of the horror genre.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I think, in the grand tradition of spooky hotel stories.
Oh, definitely. Also, I want to mention Lamorne Morris is from the most recent season of Fargo.
Yeah.
So if you watch that like me and loved it, you'll be very happy to see him.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But if you like Psycho,
yep,
I think you're going to see a lot of nods.
Yeah.
I think this is the kind of movie that if you come with a good horror history under your belt, I think you're going to see a bunch of references.
Yes.
But also feel like the passion from two creators who really wanted to tell their own story inspired by
definitely
giant juggernauts like The Shining.
Yeah, they absolutely are clearly huge horror fans. They loved being able to talk about their references. They obviously have just like a big passion for the genre. And I'm really glad that we got to talk to them.
Me too. They were actually really fun to talk to, too.
They were super nice.
I thought we obviously have not done many interviews on the show. I really didn't know how we'd handle ourselves. I thought you were a catastrophe, quite frankly.
Well, I was a little nervous, and so I was screaming. Thank God we have like volume regulation software.
Well, we'll see how much work it can do. I don't know.
I know.
My system
apologize.
Might overheat and melt
if I'm a little loud.
No, I genuinely didn't even detect it. But no, they're twin brothers, Paul and Ben, the China brothers. And so it was actually kind of fun. They talked a little bit about obviously being siblings.
Mm-hmm.
They have some, obviously, a shared background, but also a shared love of certain elements of horror the way that we do.
Right.
Which I thought was really kind of nice.
Yeah, it was like a mirror image. They were like a smarter, more British version of us.
Yes.
And we were like a more handsome version of them.
Yes, and way more American.
Yeah.
And you can tell. I think we carry ourselves like two Americans.
Yeah, definitely. And decidedly. I'm joking because we are not handsome, and they were.
Well, what the hell? I did not co-sign that. It's a nightmare. So yeah, I think we're going to throw to the interview. Everybody, enjoy our conversation with the China Brothers,
yes,
Paul and Ben, and make sure you go see Night Shift.
Absolutely.
You can go get it on video on demand platforms. Go.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy the interview.
Wow.
Thank you so much for being here with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it as well.
Well, we both watched Night Shift.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was great.
We're horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like for a lot of people, sometimes, you know, they think of like a horror movie is really going to scare you. And certainly this movie is going to scare people. But also I was just thinking so much about how many times I was like trying to clock all the different bits of setup and foreshadowing, yeah, that are layered into the movie. And it really made you think. It was like, it was genuinely fun,
mm-hmm,
from beginning to end.
Thank you so much for saying. I think also because we shot in one location over such a small amount of time, over 17 days, with very little money, we kind of had to be meticulous with our execution. And so like laying all the beats and all the plot points and what comes back around full circle, especially to lead to the payoff in the third act,
mm-hmm,
we kind of had to be as prepared as possible, getting thrown into that juggernaut.
Yeah, I would think so. So to that end, I was reading that some of the influences for the movie were The Shining, The Others, Psycho. So when you started to work on The Night Shift and you were planning everything out because you knew that you had this like tight turnaround time, what aspects of those movies were you super excited to draw from and to get to bring into this?
Oh, that's a great question. I'd say a lot of it was atmosphere as well, like creating that kind of tension in one particular setting. Some other influences for us was like Mario Bava's Kill Baby Kill, which is, which we absolutely adore, as well as like a heavy dose of giallo cinema, not just in terms of like the narrative and the structure of the story in particular, but also in terms of like the aesthetic and the style and having those neon colors that are kind of the hidden meanings behind them and all the rest of it. So yeah, there's a lot of influences in there that we'd like to sort of take and then make our own, really, for this story.
Definitely piggybacking there off Kill Baby Kill, because like with Mario Bava, everybody always talks about Black Sabbath or Black Sunday or Blood and Black Lace, but Kill Baby Kill is such an underrated film. And because you have the threat of, well, you have two threats. You have the supernatural and then you have the realistic element. And so that was something fun for us to play with here as well, where, and in the end, they're both actually interlinked. Yeah, it was just it was a great reference for us, and you know, hopefully we tipped our hat to Bava in a decent way.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, one of the interesting things, so you both wrote and directed. So one of the things that I'm also curious, on top of like the obviously the visuals of the movie, from a story perspective, like why this story, right? Like what brought you to this particular somebody at a motel in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, not knowing who could be there. Like, how'd you start with this?
It really started where we think of, no one is sort of impervious to ghost stories. Like, even if you might be incredulous yourself, like to whether they actually exist, there's always somebody you know, spouse, sibling, coworker, friend, that swears by it, but believes in them and always claimed to have seen a ghost. And so we kept asking ourselves, why is that? Why is it such a phenomenon? And then that led to what we believe to be a more interesting question is, what is a ghost? And then without hopefully diving into spoiler territory, that's something that we wanted to explore with this film.
It was also taking like a familiar aesthetic, like the haunted motel, which we've seen so many times. And so we were like, well, if we are going to do that, how do we subvert audiences' expectations? How do we tell it in a different way that audiences perhaps haven't seen before? Like whether it's staying in like a desert motel or having the owner of the motel be Lamorne Morris as opposed to some sort of creepy old white bloke, but just playing like little different things like that to make it feel unique and then add that to the story that hopefully moves along and gives it a decent payoff.
Yeah, definitely. No, I loved it is funny because specifically looking at something like Psycho, and you've certainly got even like the touches of like the taxidermied animals all over the place. Yeah. But like there, sometimes the notion of a spooky motel, you can't help but think about Norman Bates or something. So to come in immediately and see that the person who runs the motel is a totally like down-to-earth funny person was a great way to start.
And by the way, who I was so stoked to see because I loved him in this most recent season of Fargo. Oh, so like such like a very happy presence to bump into. And then it was really cool that like he bounces right away. So yeah, it kind of seems like you'd be following him to a degree. It's not such a fake out that it's like Drew Barrymore in Scream or something like that. But like he's a known entity at this point, at least to somebody like me who watched Fargo and I'm sure other things that he's in. And then he's like, zoom, I'm out and you're following somebody else. I just thought it was super cool. Now, I want to ask, kind of bouncing off of you answering Will's question just now about ghost stories and kind of always knowing somebody who's into them or believes in ghosts, what are your opinions on ghosts? Like, where do you stand in real life, personally? What do you guys think about ghosts?
I just personally speaking, I wish I believed in them. I wish I saw one.
Yeah.
I'm desperate to believe. You know, I'm Fox Mulder in that sense. I would love to witness it. And, you know, there have been some kind of spooky things that perhaps happened to us in our past, which were sort of inexplicable.
Yeah. And I'm with Paul as well. Like, I really, really would love to believe. And I kind of sort of perceive it as being like them being energy, you know, and like what they manifest. Because when you usually hear ghost stories, like this ghost that's left behind to haunt people, so therefore they're begrudged and they have like vengeance on their mind. So they have like this negative energy that's left behind, and that's what makes them so visceral and scary. So yeah, I like to believe that. I'm hoping I'll see one.
How about you two?
Will, go ahead.
Yeah, so we're also siblings.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think is kind of nice is like, I wonder if you guys feel the same way, where it's like, you're like, something happened to us in our past that we thought was kind of weird. I think for a lot of people, if they think about the paranormal, it seems to be such a personal experience for people. All you can do is say, I saw a ghost, and everyone else has it. The best someone can do is go, okay. I don't know if I believe you or not.
Right.
But something about being like siblings who've now grown up and work together and are still friends, you have somebody who can sort of corroborate or knows you well enough to tell if you really honestly feel like you saw something.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, having said all of that, I also don't think I can believe in any of the paranormal. I would love to. I would love to. And certainly, I mean, I'm literally going to say what you just said. We've seen a couple of weird things. But I don't know if I can really allow myself to go that far. It's taking a huge leap to be like, now I believe in... Because what does that mean? What are the implications of there being ghosts? What are we going to do?
I know. I had a really weird experience that I'm going to like truncate because this isn't about it. But I went to a tarot card reader just like right off the street. So they couldn't Google me. They couldn't anything. And in the middle of the reading, they just blurted out our dad's name who has passed. They just said, who's Richard Robert? And I was like, blah. And there's no way. I mean, I walked in off the street. It was so bizarre. And then right after that, she said something that didn't resonate whatsoever. And so I likened it to, it seemed like somehow she tuned into some sort of like supernatural radio station for a second that got clear, and then it got fuzzy and staticky again or something. So that honestly changed my opinion forever. Because it was so unexplainable. It's the weirdest thing. But not to derail.
No, not at all. That's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
So weird, right?
Are you comfortable sharing what you were alluding to, like something that happened in the past?
I've had like a couple of weird instances where, like, I worked on boats when I was like in like my early 20s, just like doing kind of like manual labor, all sorts of things. And I was once on this particular boat, and we were out at sea, and the captain, who was always alone at night, just in the middle of this job, stopped and said, I can no longer keep doing this because this boat is haunted.
Oh.
And we were all like, well, what? And then the job finished. We had to wait for him to like leave, and they replaced him. And then that makes me kind of like spooky. I'm like, is something going on here? And then he would tell stories of what he saw. And I was just, it just raised hairs on the back of my neck. I was like, was he just seeing things, or was he just being apprehensive? Or I don't know. But that always stuck with me.
Yeah, that would give you pause.
That in and of itself, what a spooky environment to, you think about ghost ships and things like that. Yes. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, to bring it back to the movie. So in the movie, Gwen, who is working at the motel, has these unexpected paranormal experiences while she's there. And motels are such transitory places in and of themselves because people are coming in and coming out for their stay. And so how did you feel like the living characters that we meet in the hotel, like Alice or the super rude couple who roll in, helped ratchet up the supernatural tension? Like, how'd they play off of that?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, particularly with Madison, who played Alice, like, we want her to be a believer. So therefore, halfway through the film, we're like, we don't know if we're trusting what we're seeing. But then all of a sudden, we have a character that is very relatable, who then says, no, this place is actually haunted. So then therefore, that forces the audience to re-question what they're actually seeing. I think with Patrick and Lauren, the married couple, the rich married couple that appear in the middle of the film.
Who are married in real life.
Who are married in real life. And absolutely. Yeah, it was, they came in just like a whirlwind. And we really wanted that to happen in the middle of the film. Like, what's the last thing you expect to see? Who walks through the door? And it was just, Patrick Fischler from Mulholland Drive. And it was just them being obnoxious and very comedic as well at the same time. And to keep the audience on their seat to say, hey, even if we're not focusing on ghosts or the supernatural or Gwen being followed by a mysterious character, we can also try and surprise you in other ways.
It also allows us to, with their introduction, it allows us to create more empathy with Gwen, the central character, so we really feel for her on this night shift as she goes through hell. Just to get the audience in her shoes.
Yeah, with so many of those elements, right? Like you mentioned, like, you know, she's not to give anything away, she sees this car that keeps showing up at the scene of the motel, and obviously there's so much paranoia around, is the motel haunted? What was your process of trying to perpetually stay ahead of the audience? Because especially today, it seems like so many people are so accustomed to the language of cinema, and specifically in horror, there's so many people who are so ready to see one piece of foreshadowing, go, oh, I already know the ending. And I feel like you had a real angle to make sure that you were always a step or two ahead of everybody. So I'm just curious, what was that like as a challenge?
It was very challenging. It was particularly giving the one location and setting it all up and having those exact beats. It was almost like, to a certain degree, you know, when Paul and I were creating the story, working backwards almost, you know, and like figuring out all those points. We had to be meticulous, try to be scrupulous. It was tough.
It was tough. And audiences are so smart, like you said. Yeah. I mean, this, in the modern age, just we've seen so many films and so many TV series and so much content. And what has been done before? Like, is anything original? So how do we try and subvert audiences' expectations? How do we try and provide a fresh take on a ghost story? And the real trick is believing in our protagonist as the film progresses and believing in a familiar setting, but trying to give them something new. And again, it also comes down to the casting of Phoebe Tonkin, who played Gwen, who's an absolute wonderful actress. But we really needed somebody who could hold the audience's attention, because she's on screen for 95% of the film, often at times by herself, just interacting with the motel. And so we really needed somebody with terrific screen presence as well. And yeah, it was very meticulous in how we had to try and design and plan it, I think.
I forgot another added element to that was like finding moments of pockets to create levity, to allow us to relieve tension, to keep it like humorous at times. Because, you know, horror and comedy can be two sides of the same coin.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So I know it's not a horror comedy, but we love having moments of levity because it allows us, the audience, to relieve tension and then build it up again and make it feel like, you know, they're on this ride and that it's entertaining, because we just don't want to let the audience down.
Yeah, no, I love that too. The comedy was as funny as the horror was scary. And talking about, so Phoebe Tonkin, who I think it's such a paranoid environment. I think it was really, I know the feeling of being in the middle of nowhere at a creepy place where, especially because motels, hotels, Holiday Inn, they can be such, like, I don't know, like, sometimes there are gross environments to be in. You don't know who else has been here, mm-hmm. but you really do get this sense of her being by herself at night in danger. So I know that the production, obviously, you had to tackle everything really quickly, but also the act of making this movie meant that you were in a frightening environment in the dark over and over for 17 days. So, I mean, I'm sure you had your mind on a million other things, but that had to just be a creepy environment to be in yourselves.
It was, actually, yeah. It really was. Yeah, totally surreal. I mean, a couple of people live there, right?
Yeah, a couple of them.
At the motel that we shot at, which is the Pink Motel.
Yeah.
Here in Los Angeles. But, yeah, I mean, It was a strange environment, but I mean, we took over the motel basically and kicked a couple of people out when we took over it for 17 days. But even just being alone at night, you know, I mean, at one point I had to stand in a very small bathroom with three ghosts while we waited for the camera to set up and we couldn't open the door. And even though I knew these three wonderful people very well with their makeup that was so effective, you know, and there's no lights on, and after a while I'm like, I'm starting to sweat, you know, I know who they are, but you don't want to be in a creepy motel bathroom with three people with terrific makeup effects. And even though I knew they were lovely, I was definitely starting to sweat.
I love that journey for you. What a because really the act of making a horror movie is to some extent putting yourself in the position of a horror character.
Yeah, you're there. Right.
You're in it. You were at that motel.
It's going to start getting weird. I'm sure it feels super isolated. Not for, like, for reasons that include, it seemed like you tried to make the All Tucked In, which is a great name, by the way.
Yeah.
I love that name. It seemed like you tried to kind of make it feel a little bit, like, unstuck from time in a way. So, because it's an old motel and it hasn't been updated, like the way that the security system works is it's all on like old ass monitors. And when they're using the phone, they're using like an old handset on a landline.
CRT and, televisions.
Yeah. Like we know that it's set modern day, but we don't see anybody at the hotel using a cell phone or anything. So yes. I was wondering how important those little anachronisms were to you guys when you were laying out the movie.
Very much so. Yeah. Even in terms of plot with having, you know, Alice's phone, cell phone not being able to work, and then that kind of takes that out of the equation. But we very much wanted it to feel like it was stuck in time and be a throwback to the movies that we love from the 80s and 90s. I think also with the production design when it comes to motels, that even though it's very creepy and ominous and spectral, we still want there to be a good use of color. And for like each room to have kind of symbolic meanings to whoever was staying in that room. And our production designer did a wonderful job where, the motel in itself felt like a character and felt alive. We always used to say, well, if somebody was watching this film and it was on mute, you would still want to keep watching. And that comes, and hopefully that comes down obviously through performance and plot, but through the use of color.
I also think we're drawn to that aesthetic, aren't we? We live in such a digital age now. We have access to everything. So I think even as humans, we kind of crave looking for things that are reminiscent of the past, where we were forced to act and didn't have to rely on just looking at our phones constantly. It made us feel more alive. And what better way to do that through genre?
Yeah. No, I was even thinking about, I think when she goes into room 13, and I won't give anything away, but it's a spooky number. The scariest of numbers, yeah. Kristen. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about Denis Villeneuve had made headlines in the last few weeks talking about, you know, filmmaking and how he hates dialogue, right? That was, I think, the line. And I was thinking, I love dialogue.
Yeah.
But I was thinking watching Night Shift, I came to the exact same place as what you just said. I was like, everything is told so clearly visually. I feel like Denis Villeneuve would really appreciate your work, I guess is what I'm saying. Well, but here's the question. So this is the first time that the two of you have directed a movie together. I mean, what was the process? You've written, obviously, but what was the process of now leaping in and directing together? And, you know, how much effort had gone into taking you to this point where you finally got to do it?
It was years of hard work. Years and years, you know, we were writing scripts together, which we loved doing. And luckily one of them actually got made. And then we were working in TV, like creating like genre shows that we were trying to set up at networks and stuff. And then, our love was just, you know, genre movies. So we wanted to make a genre movie, and setting out on that path takes a lot of hard work. And it was a lot of time. And luckily we got there, you know, we didn't have many resources or shooting days, but having us together, because I think we're twins and we're kind of inseparable and we love the same things. It was just it was a wonderful partnership. At least I'm saying that. He might change his mind.
No. Oh, this would be great. Yeah, give us some dirt.
Yeah. He's like, what was he talking about? Yeah. I can utterly agree. I mean, two heads are better than one. And
or our two heads make one.
It never felt, we felt very well prepared and we had each other's backs, and it wasn't like one of us just, you know, interacted with the crew and the other one interacted with the cast in terms of like, you know, getting performances and what have you. It was 50-50 down the middle. I mean, we like to believe that should, you know, the DP or an actor come to one of us for a question, we would give the same answer. And maybe that's a twin thing. I'm not entirely too sure. But
we're not twins, and I disagree with everything Kristen says, so that bears out. That sounds right.
I do too. I make a point too. It's how I assert my dominance.
Contrarian. Yeah. Contrarian. go ahead.
No.
Well, I was going to say, so again, thinking about like the production timeline, I mean, undeniably in any process when you're trying to execute on an idea, things change. The idea you have sometimes isn't the script you write. The script you write sometimes isn't the film you make. Were there any particular roadblocks that you feel like you really had to try to improvise your way around, or just any shifts from the original idea to what we've now got on screen that stand out?
Yeah, I think the most difficult obstacle in that would be the actual layout of the location of the motel.
Mm.
So we have the story, we have the script, we've written it, and then we had to find the place that allows us to shoot it. And once we found that place, it's like, how are we going to work and create the story in there? And we had to shift some things around, particularly like locations of certain rooms, the setup as well of the pool, which plays a big sort of sequence in it. Like, mm-hmm. we had to sort of adjust some things to that. I think that was the trickiest part.
Yeah. I mean, we like to believe that it works because, you know, nobody sort of pointed it out yet. Yeah. But, you know, when people are walking through certain doors, you feel like they're walking into a parlor or a connecting room. But in fact, it was on the opposite end of the motel and what have you, you know? So again, because it was so visual and each room really counted, it was how do we make this utterly believable?
Yeah.
And but that sort of benefited us by being at one location, that we could be meticulous and we could focus all of our attention on those small details.
How much time did you really spend there? Did you go? I mean, I assume you went home or something when you're not filming, but did anyone stay at the motel?
No. Oh, gosh, no. I think
someone who was like on a night shift.
You know? Yeah, right.
After the equipment and everything, but yeah, everyone went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably best for them.
Probably. I'll cut that question. Well, here's a question. Some of the scares that are in the film, I feel like, are so relatable. The idea of finding yourself suddenly stuck in a room, let's say. Were any of those beats in the movie, did any of them come from a place of a real fear that either of the two of you have?
I would say that yeah, I mean, definitely the phone one, it, growing up in the 90s, in the 80s and the 90s, you know, sometimes like there were just random prank calls. And then this is what happens in Cabin 13. So that was definitely one, hearing a voice on the line and what that could be. But yeah, the sinkhole, I'm trying to give too much away here, but the sinkhole is utterly fascinating to us because we weren't even that familiar with them until we moved here to America. I mean, we'd heard of them, but... And then we started seeing them make the news and what have you. And we just thought, what is going on there? And like, there's a sinkhole and it sucked all the water out. And so we thought, well, yeah, the swimming pool, you know, and then Lamorne Morris, Teddy's character, says, lucky nobody was swimming. But then obviously as the film progresses, we start to realize, well, was somebody swimming? Is somebody down in the sinkhole? And that was very, very ominous to us, even though I've never seen one with my own eyes. But if I did see one with my own eyes, I probably would be petrified.
The moment that he said, good thing nobody was swimming, I pictured a whole scenario in my head of trying desperately to swim against the pull.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I had questions about the sinkhole, but I felt like exactly, I didn't want to give anything away or spoil it. But yeah, I was wondering if you could say anything about it being just sort of like a thematic element in the film and what you thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, we're out like spoiling it, like the theme of like that sinkhole and what it relates to and then how it's kind of seen later is thematically kind of linked.
Mm-hmm.
and visually, but it just screamed, like when you think of like ghosts in motels, you know, you're trying to think like of how people possibly died there, and just having like, well, someone died in the pool perhaps and it was through a sinkhole is just gut-wrenching.
Oh my god, a nightmare. I have endless questions about things that would completely spoil the movie for people. I don't want to do that. I think people need to see the movie.
Yes.
But one thing that I do want to ask the two of you is, it's a hypothetical, all right? And it may come to pass, who knows? Let's say somebody says, all right, you've got the complete keys to the kingdom. Any franchise that has ever existed now or in the past, you get full creative control to do whatever you want with it. You can do the next installment of this franchise. You can start over with a clean slate. What's the playground that you wish that you could just jump right into? And is there any?
There is. I mean, there's so many that we love and admire. I mean, Halloween has such a detrimental effect on us. You know, seeing that at a young age, and we're lovers of that entire franchise. Everything. I mean, My Bloody Valentine is one of our favorite horror films of all time, and that feels like it would probably be beneficial from a sort of smart, upgraded take on that film. What else that stands out to you?
An obvious big one would be Nightmare on Elm Street, just through the concept of dreams and telling that through a modern lens. You know, I mean, that would give you a wonderful playground to operate in. I find that incredibly exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many.
I know. There really are.
A lot to draw from.
We know that you're busy. We're sure that you've got a lot of people that you got to talk to and everything, but we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been great and so interesting.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate you taking the time and that you enjoyed the film. And we've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, it was wonderful speaking to you. Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time from sibling to sibling.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Everybody go check out The Night Shift. It's on video on demand and it's awesome. Thank you so much to both of you.
Yes, thank you.
Much. We appreciate it greatly. Thank you so much for your time.
So there you go. Our conversation with the China brothers, Paul and Ben.
Cool guys, right?
I really think that they were like nice and interesting.
Yeah.
You really got the sense that like they love what they do.
I got very, very good vibes from them.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. They just seem to love what they do. They seem to love being in the horror genre. And yeah, I'm happy that we got to talk to them and I'm excited to see what other things they do.
Couldn't agree more. So everybody go get it. Night Shift is out right now. Video on demand. It's the weekend. Mm-hmm. You want a horror movie to watch?
Pop a bowl of popcorn.
And sit down to watch Night Shift.
Yes.
Enjoy. So, hey, we're going to be back tomorrow with a brand new episode of Guide to the Unknown. So make sure you refresh your feed in the morning. Mm-hmm. Don't skip out. That is to say, we'll be back next time with more scary fun.
That's right.
But until that time comes, we must travel.
Back to the Netherworld. Go we.
Do you think, how would you feel about me billing us as the Rogers brothers?
Ooh, the Rogers twins.
Your last name is no longer Rogers and you're not my brother.
No.
What do you think of it? The Rogers brothers.
I'm fine with it. All right. Works for me.
Let's get us on a billboard.
I feel like we have jokingly, obviously, called each other the Rogers twins in the past.
We have, yes. We're not actual twins.
No, we're not.
Kristen's far older.
You wish. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know.